Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everybody. This is the No More Leadership BS podcast. Wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, we are so glad you're here today. I am Jeff Geoff McLaughlin with Professionals at Play, and I get to play host today for our exciting episode with all the wonderful people that you have here that you can't see because you're obviously listening to this podcast and not watching us. We have Dr. Sam Jennings, Jeff Conroy, Jeff Geyer, and Miss Myra Rose amongst the Thorns Hall. And
I didn't know that.
I was trying to be witty there, but it didn't quite come off as well as I thought it would. So anyway, we have an episode today, and it was inspired by a moment that I had this morning. And it's for everybody that doesn't know, it is March. There's snow on the ground, and I did just jump in the lake because I thought, why not? It'll be fun.
You're dumb.
However, it was very interesting because I had a friend who was speaking at a conference. He was speaking at, what is it? It's the Conscious Investor Growth Conference here in Coeur d'Alene, which I thought was a very interesting one. And they said, we want to go on a cold plunge. We want to go jump in the lake as a mental mindset. Like, we can do this. Let's do it. And he asked me, because he knows I like to jump in the cold water, if I would come down and help out. And so I said, sure, why not? Let's do this. I didn't think that many people would show up, but we had probably close to 30 people show up at 6:30 in the morning to jump in the lake that's 36 degrees. And it was so interesting because it got me thinking about the power of a team and the power of a group. And what happens when you're no longer going it alone, but you have people around you and supporting you? Are you able to go further, farther, faster, harder? What are you able to do more of because you have a group of people? And we gave them their little plug for, hey, this is what's going to happen to your body. It's going to be cold. Hussing is allowed, which there was not as much as I anticipated, actually.
I wasn't there.
Conroy was not there, but I could hear it ringing in the back of my head. But the interesting thing was is that most everybody asked, how long do I have to stay in before I can get out? And I said, you want to give yourself 30 seconds, at least 30 seconds, and see what happens to your body in 30 seconds. Because at 30 seconds in that cold water, you start to go a little bit numb. And it doesn't feel as bad. It's really interesting because the first 30 seconds is the worst part.
It's called hyperthermia, dude.
That doesn't kick in until at least 90 seconds.
Okay, my bad.
But the interesting part was I told them I would call out the times so that they could get out when they needed to. When they needed to, they all had the option to leave. They had the option to not go in. And the interesting part to me was as soon as we walked in, I called out 30 seconds and almost everybody went, wait, that was 30 seconds? That was 30 seconds. And I said, yep, you've been in for 30 seconds. They're like, we can do a minute. I said, absolutely, you can do a minute. And I called out a minute and nobody got out. Everybody's like, oh, we can do this. We can go like a couple of minutes. And as soon as the group started to think, yes, we can do this, everybody stayed in. So I think the earliest somebody got out was 2 minutes.
That's awesome.
And then a few people stayed in for 4 minutes and a couple of people stayed in for five. And it got me thinking, as leaders, what is the value of having other leaders around you? What is the value of having a group that can support you, and why? Because I know you've all heard that you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And if you want me to tell you about your life in the future, show me your five best friends. And I've used this with students. And I can tell you right now, anytime I go into a group and I work with student leadership, if I look at a group of kids and there's a bunch of them that are misbehaving, it's always a group of boys, always a group of boys. But I can always tell you, if I get those boys separated from each other, the behavior changes drastically. Maybe Dr. Sam can address maybe some of the science behind this because he's got DR in front of his name and that makes him like, you know, the higher ed piece. But I'm also going to ask about your experiences with when have you been influenced by somebody in a positive manner in leadership? And was it proximity? Was it their knowledge base? Was it the fact that you spent time with those people? What was it that changed it? Because I think if we can help our listeners to seek out intentionally those people that can help them in their leadership journey, what would the things that they might be looking for in those leadership people that they want to surround themselves with so that they become a better leader? With that very clear, as mud, ambiguous, completely open topic, Dr. Sam, what do you think? Why is it that you become the sum of the five people you spend the most time with? Is there anything to that? What do you think?
I'm going to take your middle question and identify things that folks should look for in a leader. And thing one is what you just described with the cold plunge. I thought about this and we have an episode. I looked it up, October 11, 2023, where we talk about embracing the suck. So what you did, Geoff, was say, this is new to you and it seems a little bit weird. And yeah, it can very well be uncomfortable. Here's what to expect. Here's when to expect it. And I'm going to guide you along the way. That's a leader who says, this is will be difficult. If you join me, I'm going to shepherd you through this process. And that's awesome. Another attribute that I've looked for and really appreciated in leaders is curiosity, which I think we should make into an episode, maybe soon. They're open to the ideas and the possibility of them not having all the information and maybe different points of view. If you have a leader who's leader by title and acts as though they've got the answers, and if you have questions and you don't get it, that's not a leader. That's just a bully. That's somebody who's actually going to lead is going to hear your question and go, okay, tell me more about that. Yeah. And look for the question within the question. It's not, it's rarely as superficial as one quick question. There's usually some depth to it. If they want to go explore that with you, that's somebody I want to follow. Other folks listening may have different needs, but boy, somebody who's interested in taking that deep dive with my people.
I like that. That deep dive, that question within a question. How far down do you want to go? Like that curiosity. That actually sounds like a really good start for an episode. I think
we should do that one of these days. Yeah.
We should do that one of these days. Conroy, you jumped in there for a second. Like you were like, oh.
No, all I was saying is they're saying those leaders that are entitled only that don't understand why people don't follow them. So those are called tortured geniuses. They're the ones that think they have all the answers, but they don't understand why people don't follow them. That's all I was saying. Sorry. That was my two cents. Sorry.
I didn't go. Yeah. Okay.
But the group mentality for me, I'm a big lover of the group mentality because the synergistic effort within the group just makes it better. Disney calls it plussing. Talk about sitting around a table and thinking you have got a great product, and we just start saying, "What can we do better?" It just gets better and better with the group. You're preaching to the choir here, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings up a really good idea that groupthink can either accelerate or completely
definitely
dive bomb an idea, an entire organization. Yeah. So, Mr. Geyer, I'm curious with your leadership experience. Let's look at like the military. Is that something that they use intentionally? Because I was never in the military. I have completely flat feet. I got a medical disqualification before I even got through the rest of the medical. So they wouldn't let me touch anything. It was not fun. But what the military is part of that mindset of surround yourself with good people and then we can do this together. Like that, it really seems to me like a team build. Let's get everybody going in the same direction. And they've got good leadership, hopefully, helping people to get going in the right direction. Is that the kind of the case or the experience that you've had? Because I know that you've had a lot of really good, solid people around you.
I have, Geoff, and I have to caveat, I think, my position on it. It's my position, and military-wise, it's 20, I don't even know how long, 30-plus years old. So today's U.S. military, I'm sure, is significantly different than it was when I was in. But back then, it really wasn't born out of encouragement necessarily and those kind of things. It was, and I'm thinking about basic training now, they broke us all down into a common denominator so that we were all the same. It's the reason why you get the haircuts and all and wearing the same uniforms and all that, so that whatever you used to be, you are no longer, and now you're a member of the military. So it really wasn't yes, we had leaders, but they were, I'm the colonel and you're the sergeant, and therefore you do what I say. And we all know that in business today, that kind of leadership doesn't work. That really top-down, driven, hierarchical kind of thing. And I've noticed, I was at Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas, Nevada for most of my career. And I noticed, I follow the base on their Facebook page, and they actually have a leadership program now for young leaders. And I'm sure they're doing it at other bases besides Nellis. But I thought, wow, if they had that when I was in, I wonder if I would have qualified to do it or volunteered to do it. I don't really know much about the program other than they're teaching young people how to be leaders. And that's different than teaching you how to follow orders. And there's a time for both. I'm not disparaging the military at all. In fact, I'm one of those goofy guys that thinks we all should probably take a little spin in the military just to support our country. But it isn't about following orders. It's about influencing and growing people and that kind of stuff. And I agree with you totally. I was thinking about when you telling the story about being in the water and the power of the group. My parents used to tell me all the time, we don't want you hanging out with Johnny. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, it was to point me in the right direction, not to say negative things about Johnny. They were trying to get me into the quote unquote right group. And so as leaders, why wouldn't we want to continue to be in the quote unquote right group and surround ourselves not only with people that we're responsible to lead, but outside forces, CEO groups and masterminds and coaches and things like that. I just think, although we don't talk about it much, that's one of the things that is an absolute necessity to be an effective leader.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different things that you said that go into that, Jeff, from the simplicity, like the simplest, smallest thing. If your organization, if you have the same uniform, you're automatically identified as part of a specific group based on what you're wearing.
Yes.
And the haircut and what you look like. And there's an expectation that goes along with that. And so with the military, the haircut, the clothing, everything, the fact that everybody has the same language, you automatically become a part of that group. And subconsciously, it goes into your head, this is how I'm supposed to act. And so, Myra, with that in mind, can you give us your perspective on if it's just the look, if it's a uniform, if it's what else do you think goes into that groupthink that changes a person's behavior? What about it? Why is that? What do you think?
First of all, you going into a cold plunge gives me another reason to be really happy that I'm living a half a continent away from you. Because I don't want to get too close. I do not want to get too close. But just listening to the four of you guys talk, what came to mind is this old saying that a rising tide lifts all boats. Mm-hmm. And I am lucky enough to be included in this group of giants, in my opinion, and I feel like it has lifted my boat. I can personally attest to that over the 3-4 years that we've known each other. And I'm extremely blessed for it and thankful. The opposite is true as well, is a falling tide will sink all boats. And if you're in a group and the general consensus is life sucks and we're all being trampled on and everything's bad and there's no way we can ever be like those people over there, or let's go drown our troubles in whatever your preferred substance or beverage is, your tide's going to go down. Your tide's going to go down. Now, I'm not saying that those things are bad per se. I'm saying that using them as an excuse, surrounding yourself with people that encourage you to handle difficult situations, such as jumping in. I'd have to have a double shot before I did that. I'm just telling you. I would.
You'd have to have some liquid courage.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm just saying. I just couldn't do it. So my hat's off to you. But I might if I was there. I don't know.
I want to jump in real quick. You said I couldn't do it. But what I heard you say is I won't do it because
you're right.
Could do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's different, right? How many times do we say, I just couldn't do that? And what we're really saying is, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with your ability to do it. You could. You can walk, and I'd hold your hand as we go in the water.
This is what it's like to live with four coaches. I'm just telling you. They call you on everything.
Yeah, I might not be coaching with Dyer wants to Thelma and Louise you off into a frozen lake. I think that's problematic. But that's his
call. I could be just trying to convince her to get close to the shore. Right? Yeah.
But the whole point there is we are so influenced by the people we're around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we have choices about who those people are.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the biggie. Those are the thoughts that were going through my head as you guys were talking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's pretty rare when I find something on social media that is actually witty without just being crass and ridiculous. I saw a phrase that said, you can't change the people around you, but you can change the people around you. Mm. And the more I think about that, man, that's
true.
Who's your group, right? Yeah. Make sure you got a group that's your people.
Yeah.
Especially if you get into the mode of, it's not my fault. They made me do it, or this is just how people act or whatever. No, not all people act that way. And if you're stuck in that, then one of the best things you can do is find somebody to mentor, to coach you that is not in that mindset and help you get that boat turned around, because don't fall for that tide that's going out, because it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the power. That is really, truly the power of a positive group. Is that tide, the tide effect. And they're a mastermind group or a coaching group or having a mentor or mentors, multiple, that are going to give you those perspectives. And they are not going to let you get away with not doing the hard thing that will make your life better. That's a part of it, that accountability piece, where they're going to say, no, you absolutely can do this. And absolutely, it's going to suck. It's not going to be fun. But you're going to be better at the end, and really, truly trusting them. So I think that this is a topic that I really, truly love, because groupthink is really powerful. And people, if they realize that, you can't always change the people around you, but guess what? You can change the people around you.
Love that.
And so, but that's might be another whole podcast of what do you need to do for yourself to be the best leader you can possibly be. To be the most influential person you can be, to be the most uplifting kind of a person you can be. I think that's a whole other podcast right there. But with that in mind, what would be the number one quality you would look for in the people that you want to surround yourself with? That's a pretty big ask in such a short amount of time.
Possibility.
Yeah. Awesome.
I want to be around people that look for possibility, just not stuck in the boat. If they notice the tide's going out, they get out of the boat. If they see the tide's coming in, they get in the boat. It's observant possibility, I guess.
I like that possibility. I love that. Okay. Other guys are thinking. I can see the wheels turning.
Two come to mind from that integrity and optimism. I want someone that's gonna be excited about what can happen. Just what if we were able to do this? And those are the people I gravitate towards.
Nice. Possibility. Present company included. Awesome. Awesome. How about you, Mr. Geyer?
I'd say it's hard to pick one, but I would probably put it under the umbrella of mindset. Which kind of, I think, is going to cover what everybody says, certainly what Jeff just said and what Myra's talking about. Just the mindset that of possibility and what's available, and maybe the rising tide kind of mindset that I own the outcome, that wherever I'm at, whatever current situation I'm in, and that I do have the ability to change it to be whatever I want it to be. I'm not a victim. So I think that's probably all under the umbrella of mindset.
How about you, Dr. Sam?
I'm going back to curiosity. because it leads to such fun conversations. And it's not just a matter of ask a bunch of questions because it's in cute, but really it gets to some interesting outcomes you didn't expect. And when people have that curiosity, you can unearth some pretty fun things, but you never do if you don't act and never get there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And the one I'm going to go with is generosity.
Mm-hmm.
The gift of giving. Because it's not always about money. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's giving the gift of curiosity or the gift of possibility. And really, it's all of those things. And I think those are really important. So if you are one of those people out there listening right now, we ask that you look at your people you're surrounding yourself with and that you identify what do you want to do in your life and what do you want to do to make it better? And if you want to reach out to us in any way, shape, or form to have a conversation about that, we would love to be an asset for you. You can reach us the old school method of smoke signals, which I don't know if we actually read those that well. I get my numbers and letters confused. So that might be the easiest way is probably to email us at askus@leadershipbs.co. And we would love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to get your comments. And we would love it if you'd leave us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on and tell your friends, because the more of us that we can get in that ship going out to sea and getting going in the right direction, the better. We want to lift each other up. So thank you from all of us here at the No More Leadership BS podcast. We appreciate you listening. Have a spectacular week. And don't forget to subscribe and join us next week for our exciting episode on, I don't actually know what, but we'll figure it out when we get there. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.
Litterbucks.